Did you see anything?
One of the hilarities of the whole thing that we go through on this time deal is I'm talking to Earl, Wendy is her name, and Sean yesterday. And the topic of morning meeting came up, and I said, what happened? You know, describe it. So I have to now paraphrase the time-space syndrome in the gospel. And you would have laughed if you'd have heard me speak.
Just do your own autopsy.
Yeah, well, it's funny because, you know, I understand it. It's just a great exercise, so to speak.
It's the last thing anyone wants to understand.
Yeah, and it's never mentioned. I mean, time is not talked
about. It's never
about
mentioned?
In the gospel.
You're kidding.
No, I mean in the gospel it's talked about.
Oh, not it, but in here.
Of course, in the Bible it is, but... But I think we grind it.
Of course, if you redeem time, then you can never again be in control.
Nor do you want to, if you see correctly.
Right.
You want to be.
But you don't.
Out.
But this thing can't see correctly. This thing always wants to have a measure of control.
Right.
So that's the last. You know, that's when. Preston Jones used to call it the great whore is time.
Yeah.
I mean, he could never capture. I had 100 discussions with him about this, what you and I talked about yesterday morning, about that there is no time for a believer. And it just, he would just go home with a headache. To live. The only way we can redeem the time, for the days are evil, is what the scriptures say. We must live as if there is no time.
I was just contemplating why the whore and time, and as I see it, it's like it's the great mistress, the master seductress, or whatever.
It's the place
always drawing you in, and if there's time in it.
Right, it's a place of sorcery or witchcraft.
Right, you can do all your tricks. Anything but die.
Anything but, yeah, you can't have faith without death to self.
Right.
Let's look at the Buckner chapter.
That thing you said yesterday about it's giving place to the devil.
Right.
That really resounds in me because it's opening up an area within which the devil has free reign.
Free reign. The only place that Satan, and again, Satan is part of the will of God. He's the great opposer. The only place that he has no power is eternity. And that's why the mercy seat is in eternity. And that's why the New Jerusalem came down on Pentecost and met us.
Jumping back, Satan was given. He's the prince of, has power in, I think it's called the air, which, where does that exist, but in the time and space continuum. That's what he's been given to work in.
Right. Satan took Jesus up upon a high hill. In a moment of time, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their power and their glory. And he said, all this has been given over to me. No, and Jesus didn't correct him.
That's right.
And so that's why the gift of God is eternal life. It's life. We can't even conceive of it in our language. That eternity is no time at all.
Yeah, when you describe what time is, it's a phenomena of a planet circling around the sun, and that activity we call time, and it doesn't mean anything, but we're going around in circles around a big ball of fire.
Well, anyway, can you see why I am so hard on you anytime you give place to time?
Yeah.
Okay. Remember, Revelation 10 says, when the mystery of God is completed, time shall be no more. Now, that has to be true in you before it can be true in fact. I mean, we don't know how. I mean, everybody that calls himself a believer doesn't have to know this or live it, but for some reason, some do.
Well, like I was describing to our friends yesterday, it's if you're going to be preaching, teaching, then you best be in a position of no time, or you're preaching a false gospel.
Remember, there are only two places left. There's only two. There's only the bride and the whore. There's only vessels of wrath or vessels of mercy. And there's only the mercy seat or the judgment seat. The only place that the mercy seat exists, the only place the bride exists, and the only place the vessel of mercy exists is on the mercy seat, and the mercy seat is outside of time and space.
And that's where everything is fulfilled. That's where your joy is fulfilled, love is perfect. All of who Jesus Christ is sits in that place.
Right.
And anything outside that place, you're faking it, working it, trying to make it real.
Right, and that's why, you know, in terms of what these guys are doing, that's why anybody that gives breath to time deserves to be mocked. Yeah. I mean, not the world, I'm talking about religious people. I mean, you know, it's becoming very difficult to do satire because they're satirizing themselves. Anyhow, let's go to Isaiah 57. And this is why you have this chapter named after you, because of the length of time it's taking you to see that there is no that we must redeem the time. We must live on that mercy seat. Verse 3. Draw near hither, you sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Now this is Gary Buckner. This is Ole Anthony. This is because we practice all of these. Against whom do you sport yourself? And against whom do you make a wide mouth, draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood, inflaming yourself with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys, under the cliffs of the rocks? Among the smooth stones is your portion. Of the stream is your portion. They are thy lot. That, in other words, that's your inheritance. Even to them hast thou poured out a drink offering, and hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort at these? Upon a high and lofty mountain hast thou set up thy bed. Even there wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. And that's what you do. Every time you're confronted with an issue that God says only faith should operate, you go up to the mountain and mix your brew, not you, but the human race, of a little hair of the toad and eye of the newt, and mix it all together so you come up with a solution. And so, upon a high and lofty...
Rather than either wait...
That's what it is,
confront. As if somebody's giving you a bad time, go to them.
Right. But you wait. Remember, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, that which God hath prepared to love him. But in the scripture that Paul is quoting, is eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, that which is God has prepared for them that wait on him. Waiting is everybody says, oh, I can't wait. I want patience and I want it now. Well, listen, it gets worse. Behind the doors also and the post hast thou set up thy remembrance. Your remembrance is the things that you make reference to for solutions to what should be only solved by faith. You come up with all of the things. That's why I said you can a person of faith can never make reference to his past experience. Mm-hmm. Or to another's past experience.
I felt like I have to you, so I'm not going to let that happen to me. I'm
Or excuse yours by pointing out mine.
Yeah.
My daddy can beat up your daddy. All right. Behind the doors also, and the post, hast thou set up thy remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another than me. And who is that one you've discovered yourself to? The God of this world. And art gone up, and hast enlarged thy bed, and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed, where thou sawest it. And thou wentest to the king with thy ointment, and didst increase thy perfumes, that's just your thoughts. And didst send thy messengers far off. In other words, what am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do about retirement? What am I going to do this weekend?
Any activity of the future.
Or past. That's what this covers, the future and the past. And did debase thyself even unto hell. What does that mean? How did you debase yourself? First of all, because you're esteeming the things that everybody else esteems, the world. You're in by doing these things, you go out the east gate of Jerusalem. To Gehenna, the dump.
For life.
Huh?
Looking for life.
But here and then this is what happens. You know that every time you do that, every time you come up with a plan, every time you have a good idea, you can count the days or hours until you get totally and completely depressed. Can't we, Harry?
I'm too depressed.
Huh?
Yeah.
So, and this is what it says. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet sayest thou not, there is no hope, for thou hast found the life of thine own hand. Therefore you were not grieved. Therefore you didn't come to the end of yourself. Amen? You see why I named it the Buckner chapter? It's only because you were here first. If Harry had been here first, it would have been the Harry chapter.
Right. All men chapter.
All right. Well, I
was thinking that last part though. That's it's like that is living in the world of darkness and deception and calling it light.
Right. Living in the world of twilight.
Right. And thinking everything's fine because you're successful or God's blessing you.
But you lie down in sorrow.
Yeah.
All right. Now listen. I will declare thy righteousness. In other words, he's going to reveal your alleged rightness, Tom.
Nice.
And thy works, for they shall not profit thee.
You skipped over one.
Oh, yeah. And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared, that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me nor laid it to heart? Have I not held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? In other words, every time we have done this, which are legion, every time we've gone up to the mountain for a solution instead of dependence and faith, or every time we've been afraid of something, every time we had anxiety, it's because you're not in this place. You've left the mercy seat. I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. When thou criest, and in Hebrew, it's the intent is, when thou criest unto me with your sincere prayers, let thy companies, or let thy idolatry that you've been worshiping all this time, let them deliver thee. But the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. And shall say, cast you up, thou vile cell phone. Cast thee up. Cast thee up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. Now, you don't like it when somebody says to you, take away the stumbling block, because you love the stumbling block. because the stumbling block is what gives you identity. Man, anybody not see this?
Yeah, that's important because it's identity, even though it's bad. It's
well, but you think it's good, though.
But even if it is causing you great trouble, you'll still hang on to it because at least you're alive in somebody and
right.
your misery.
That's why in the book of Revelation it says they will hide in dens and caves and they'll cry to the mountain to fall on them. Even though they had the right words, it said the wrath of the Lamb has come. But we will hide instead of simply saying, Father, forgive me. It's so simple. Anybody have any other response?
You rang a bell when you said the stumbling block is your identity.
That's the great transgression, self-realization. That's why everybody gets mad at me.
I've always got to have some problem, some thing to be worried about or angry about or concerned about or feeling good because I solved about or whatever it is. I always have to have something. And I can feel my mind do it. Like last night, there was a big resolution, peace, once again, God is doing it. And then half hour later, I could feel this thing going, what can I worry about? What's going to happen tomorrow? Did I do this? Did I do that? Just looking for something to chew on, really, like a bone.
That's the Darth Vader syndrome.
No, it's just looking for something to chew on.
Mike?
Mm-hmm.
You hearing all this?
Yeah. You like it? Face test trick question.
It was.
Well, the other one that applies to Harry in this case now is walk in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall you have of mine hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. But the religious world teaches us how to have sparks. How you can fulfill your destiny. God wants you to be rich. Take your dream and go for it. That's just horseshit.
Well, this sparked a little fear of God here. This, when thou Christ, let thy companies deliver thee. That you spend your life worshiping idols and everything's cool, then you really get in trouble and you cry out to God and he said, let your companies deliver you.
That's exactly right.
Let your gods, those you've worshipped your whole life, let them be your savior.
And you want to know, does God have a sense of humor? And does he use satire? And does he use sarcasm?
Yeah.
But there it is right there. Go ahead, let your armies deliver you.
Yeah. That's a fearful thing.
And then And then when they're in that place, because we've been praying in the name of Jesus. No, you haven't, but you've been praying in your name. You put Jesus' name on top of it, but it's still in your name. If you delight yourself in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart, that's a whole lot different than what you think you want. The desire of your heart is why you were created, and only the desire of the nations can fulfill it. Oh, if I just won the lottery. Oh, if I just could get all my debts paid. Oh, if I just, and Father, just take care of this. No, you got to say to God, you got to put your head in the lion's mouth with supplication and say, this is yours, Lord. I don't care what happens. I have no investment in it.
For some reason, that reminds me of John's lyric in the Pharisee about he leads the fight against the enemies of the Lord. I mean, the religious man is always leading the fight against the enemies of the Lord.
That's real funny.
God.
Damn fine job they do of it too, don't they? No, it's all finished. All we have to do is rest in him. I don't feel like talking anymore. Anybody have anything else?
Me.
Tom? You look like you have something.
Well, I didn't know that I had something. I've been fighting all week over some paperwork that I have to take with me tomorrow. And after a week worth of fighting and trying to get it, it can't be gotten. So I wrote them a letter and I said, I can't get this paperwork. He said, okay, show up, we'll send you to the clinic. You know, you don't have to fight unless you just really enjoy it. I guess I enjoy it too much.
You know, the fight is not the issue of paperwork. The fight is Tom retaining his identity.
All fights.
Mr. Bonjo? Amen? All right.
I was thinking of the flesh's response to it is finished is usually, yeah, but, and then it goes on whatever it has to do to save its life.
Well, and you got to figure out what to do. You got, well, how am I going to solve this?
Yeah.
That's just, instead of, you leave faith.
And it's instant.
No, I'm not going to talk about it, but the issue that happened last night, that was absolutely no effort on our part. Just boom.
Reminds me of that terrible old joke, the punchline in which is, are you going to believe me or your lying eyes? It's like God is always saying that. You know, because you said, because all the evidence says, no, it's not true. It's not finished. It's not perfect. It's not okay. Look, I can show you it. All the evidence.
Let's go to Isaiah 28 real quick.
Are you screaming that? Where?
Isaiah 28.
I think last Friday was the first time I've ever heard you say that words are spirits, thoughts, countenance.
Yeah, because the spirit is something that doesn't have a corporal. So the thought is a spirit. So you believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they're of God. The only spirit, the only thing the Spirit of God is confessing is Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, in you. Therefore it's finished. Therefore it's all. Therefore everything's over. But all the other spirits are telling you, I've got to do this, I've got to take care of that, and if I do this, then I'll be a hero. If I don't do that, then I'm going to, you know, all of the little devices that are innumerable. Isaiah 28, again, from what Harry said, you know, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. This is the rest, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Remember, that word stammering means mock. He's mocking. It's la'eg in the Hebrew. He's mocking us. That's all he's done, is mock the human race. Go to Psalm 1. I think. No, Psalm 2. I was close. Do I get a merit badge?
Next door neighbor.
Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the air set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, let us cast their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision.
He's not really worried.
No, he doesn't have anything to worry about. He doesn't need any help. In fact, he cannot help us unless we admit we're helpless.
We must be a source of endless entertainment.
You know how you see, like, if you go to the zoo and you see monkeys running around, they always do these crazy things. And you can just sit and watch them endlessly. There are us.
The hairless monkeys.
Take a big guy. I'm tired of talking. I thought I was going to quit early, and I quit on time. How's that?